now, Nevada Real Estate Radio. You'll never go wrong when you get your advice from real estate professionals that you know, like, and trust. Here is your host, Peter Padilla.
Good day, everybody. Welcome to Nevada Real Estate Radio. Glad to be with you today. On a very nice spring afternoon. We finally made it through those cold winter months. And now the home buying and home selling season really takes hold. We're going to be talking with two studio guests today about that very fact. Brian Cushing will be with us. He's a mortgage lender at American Financial Network. And also joining us is Jen Menken, a real estate professional at RE/MAX Professionals. Today we're going to be talking about several things. Of course, the stats from the Sierra Nevada Realtors. And we're also going to be looking at news from across the country. I'm talking about the National Association of Realtors and their big agreement and how it's going to affect home buying and home selling for people all across America. We'll also talk about people that are moving from their primary residences to retirement centers, villages, areas where they don't need the same kind of housing. That may well open up some more inventory as more and more people decide to make that move to retirement living. We'll be having that conversation and more after this quick message.
Time and time again, people come to Sage International Incorporated because they experience confusion about the entity or entities they have formed either on their own or through another service provider. If you do not understand how to obtain solid liability protection, effective tax reduction, or have never given any thought to the importance of exit or estate planning issues, then the Sage Facilitator Program was designed specifically for you. To learn more, call Sage International Incorporated at 775-786-5515 and schedule a free 30-minute consultation with Sherry Hill today. The Sage clients enrolled in the Sage Facilitator Program have discovered that this proprietary process creates tremendous peace of mind for themselves and their families. It's time for you to stop worrying by calling 775-786-5515 to learn more so we can help you today. Call Sage International.
The most productive hour of your week. Here is your host, Peter Padilla.
You're tuned in to 93.7 FM here in Northern Nevada, and this is Nevada Real Estate Radio. A lot of our future clients, well, they're still in school. They might be in 5th grade, 6th grade, 7th grade, but they are the future real estate clients of America. Well, some of those kids are having problems. They're not keeping up with their peers in school. They get falling behind in reading, math. Next thing you know, they're behind a grade or two. And how do they catch up? Well, the good folks at Fit Learning here in Northern Nevada know how to do that. They can take kids who are struggling keeping up in their grade levels and in as short as 40 hours, get them back up to a full grade level that they need to get caught up. And many times, they even exceed that. But the cost is high. There is a cost. And a lot of kids can't afford it. A lot of underprivileged families have no other course than to stay with the public education. But Empower Youth Foundation has found a way to help underprivileged kids get the education they need so that they can get caught up. It's a great program, a great operation, and you need to learn more. Visit the website empoweryouthfoundation.org and tell them Peter sent you. With me in the studio today, I have two real estate experts. First of all, Brian Cushing from American Financial Network. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
It has been a while since you've been here. You've been a busy boy.
I have been busy the last year.
Yes, you have. Family good, life good.
Family's good, life's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's sunny outside now.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
happy.
Hey, ready for some good times. Well, the real estate action is upon us, Brian, and so this is typically the season, isn't it, when things start to pick up?
Yep, and it really needs to pick up.
Sure it does. When we're in the real estate sales business, we always need it to pick up. But it is the natural cycle when things do get more active. Also with us in the studio, we have Jen Menken from RE/MAX Professionals. Welcome back to the show, Jen.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you back, too. You live in a neighborhood near where I live. And seen any wild horses lately, Jen?
Every morning.
You do.
I look out my kitchen window, and there they are, sometimes walking right down the street.
If you open your window, they might stick their head in.
They might indeed.
It's beautiful up in Hidden Valley.
It is.
And we get that little added pleasure of wild horses as we look at the real estate signs, the for sale signs. Here and there, I'm seeing a little bit more action. More people are thinking this is the time to get sales activity. But what is it really looking like, Jen? Do you see the activity picking up as well?
You know, what I see right now is the competition picking up. Inventory continues to be tight. And I think we will continue to see that be the case, especially on the lower end of the market. There are so many people who have very low interest rate loans that they got previously that the incentive to move up, which is kind of a typical turn of events in real estate, just isn't happening. So with inventory being tight and people are starting to come out more and look for things to buy, they're competing to get the good stuff.
Yeah. The last few shows that we've had, we talked about seniors who are opting to leave their primary residence, condo, house, whatever, and then move into a retirement village or a senior center or someplace where they don't have to do the yard work, the snow removal, the many, many things that you have to do when you're a homeowner. Jen, as we have so many more people aging in America, in fact, I read recently that there are more 65-year-olds now than ever before in America. That tells me there might be a good percentage of those people moving, and then those homes might be available. What do you think about that?
I agree. I think that that is definitely a source of inventory. And we see in this market a lot of retirees looking for opportunities that are, I would say, lower maintenance, easier living, things that they can possibly live in part-time and go live in houses that they have elsewhere, maybe RV lifestyle seasonally.
Yeah.
There are a lot of options for 55-plus communities, everything from independent living to really just age-specific communities. And, it's a great place to kind of age and enjoy life.
I had a great guest on the radio show last week, Barbara Seiler. She is sales director at Revel Ranchera.
It's beautiful. I have toured the property.
Have you?
I have. And they have an interesting reciprocity kind of situation with other properties that they own across the country. So if you're a resident at Revel, you can actually vacation, I believe, at their other properties.
That was what I found so amazing, Jen. I mean, I love the fact that, you know, someday maybe I'll own a second home. But if I don't, if I was able to, let's say, retire at Revel Ranchera, I could travel to Arizona because they have properties there.
Yep.
And they have a reciprocity program where you can stay there for a week or so.
Yep.
And then they have them in other parts of the West. So it's not like you're really tied down to one area. So I like that. I like the fact that retirement centers, 55-plus active communities, whatever you call them, they all really are. They're offering so much more than ever before.
They really are. I kind of feel like it's like summer camp for adults.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they say active adult living, it really is. If you move to a community that has these kind of amenities, it's really up to you the degree to which you participate. So sometimes I will meet couples where one is really looking to kind of plug in and have things all set and ready to go, and the other one is saying, yeah, I don't need that. I would say address both needs. You don't have to participate, but it's there if you want to.
If you want, that's right. I'm talking with Jen Menk, and she's a real estate professional at RE/MAX Professionals here in Northern Nevada. Jen, how many years have you been in the business?
Many. I would say I was first licensed in 2003.
That's many years, yes.
Yep.
Well, you've got a lot of real estate transactions under your hat.
I do.
Brian Cushing is with us, too. He's a mortgage lender at American Financial Network. Brian, you're not new to the mortgage business either. How many years?
I think I got my real estate license in 2004.
2004.
You had to broker loans. You could broker them in California through your real estate license.
Yeah. So pretty much all of the 2000s, the both of you have really been at it in the trenches, helping people make these transitions from being renters to being homeowners, condo owners, or maybe making that final move where you want to just move to a retirement village or to a second home in another state, and helping people turn those homes into a new home for somebody else. But today, in 2024, it seems like we have more challenges than ever in practically every industry that I can think of.
I would agree.
look, I was in the mortgage business back in 2004, and then something happened a few years later. It was called the Dodd-Frank Act. It changed the whole world for mortgage lenders all across the country, me included. I stuck it out for a long time, worked many years after that. But it seems to me like what I'm hearing in the national trades from the National Association of Realtors, all these articles I'm reading in the papers, that we might be facing somewhat of a Dodd-Frank act of itself for real estate. Jen, can you enlighten us just a little bit?
Well, I'm sure that most people have heard something about what's happening with the lawsuits related to real estate commissions.
Yep.
And how they're paid. And for a very long time, the best way to say it is there was an the public had an understanding of commission being paid in whole by the seller.
Right.
And that out of that, a portion was offered to the buyer's agent. So there's a perception historically that the buyer's agent commission was not in fact paid by the buyer. But that's not entirely the case. All expenses are reflected in the overall purchase price and expense to buy the home. So I think there were people who stood up and said, this construct isn't right. And this is a really kind of broad strokes explanation.
Yeah.
It was deemed, in fact, that it wasn't right. And so that construct is going to change. And how people pay realtors to represent them in the sale and the purchase of real estate is shifting.
I've never been a realtor, but I talked to a lot of realtors in my world. And my understanding was that in the old days, it was always basically a 6% commission, split half and half, 3 to the seller's agent, 3 to the buyer's agent. Sometimes the agents would talk about the deal, and they'd say, maybe we can trim off a little bit of commission here and there for the buyer to help them out, or because it's such a big deal, whatever the reason. It might be a 2.5 and 2.5 split, or a 3-2 split, something like that. But you know, the basic starting point in my mind has always been that 6% commission. But as prices have gotten dramatically higher, that 6% means a whole lot more money than it used to. And I'm wondering if maybe that's the reason, that because that number is now so high, Jen, that's the reason that people thought to challenge that.
Certainly the more something costs and the more painful it is to your pocket, the more likely people are to object to it, right? But in truth, I think it's relevant across the board how we pay for things and what's kind of a given versus mm-hmm. negotiable.
Right.
And I think there's probably a wide range of explanations for why agents would tell you this is this way or that way.
Mm-hmm.
And in this new world, I think what used to be considered a given is no longer. And so how that translates remains to be seen, and how people communicate it remains to be seen. And if I sound a little vague, it's because it's so much of an unknown.
That's where it is right now. It's kind of vague.
It's a hot button too, though. So if you've seen any like in social media just in the last 3 days mm-hmm. since this was announced, last Friday, NAR's announcement came out that they proposed the settlement. The amount of, like, and this is everything online, there's always the two sides and are so extreme,
yep.
But the level of commenting, like I had a close friend of mine in the mortgage space that actually didn't mean to, but started a discussion in his local market up in Washington that he actually had two different real estate brokers call and say, hey, some of my agents have made some comments that I don't really think we need to take these posts down. Would you be kind enough to just delete your post, please? Because it was such a hot button item just between the, local professionals in this submarket, and it's touchy. It's a lot of opinions.
It is very touchy, and I think I've been watching it closely. I mean, obviously, it has the potential to impact the way I do business and the way I communicate with people about how I do business. But I think that what remains the same is real estate is typically a time and money consideration, right?
Mm-hmm.
How much time do you have to put toward getting the amount of money you hope to get and that the market will bear? And in trying to, I would say, sell something for the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time, usually getting to that point is to appeal to the broadest number of buyers. Because that's the best way to accomplish that is by getting it in front of the most number of people.
Right.
I suspect that proposition is going to drive decisions that buyers and sellers make in the in their effort to buy and sell real estate.
It is going to be more complicated, I believe, because people were so used to the old platform where you just get a realtor and they do all the work. And now in the future, you're going to have to negotiate about what kind of work they're going to do, how much you're going to pay, who's going to pay it. It is going to get more complicated. We're going to continue this conversation about the new changes that are proposed and will be coming later this year in due to a lawsuit that was initiated against the National Association of Realtors. These lawsuits were won. We're going to dissect these ideas more, but really nothing has taken place until later this summer, and it's just going to be kind of a day-by-day situation to see what happens. When we come back, we'll have more with Brian Cushing from American Financial Network and Jen Menken from RE/MAX Professionals.
If you want the best tax and legal secrets used by successful real estate investors today, contact Sherry Hill, the Wealth Protection Diva at Sage International Incorporated, a local company that's been helping new as well as seasoned real estate investors for over 20 years protect their hard-earned wealth today. To schedule a free 30-minute consultation with Sherry, call 775-786-5515. That's 775-786-5515 to strategize with the Wealth Protection Diva today. Call Sage International.
A gratifying career as a CSA Head Start teacher or early Head Start teacher is your chance of a lifetime.
Hi, I'm Kara. I'm a teacher here at Early Head Start and Head Start. I've lived here all my life and I love being a teacher. And I love working with my coworkers. My coworkers here are just like my family. I'm happy to be helping the youngest people in Northern Nevada. If you want to be a teacher here at Head Start, you can call us at 775-786-6023.
Natakwa News. Fun for all ages. Natakwa News. Pick up your copy today. Natakwa.
Here is your host, Peter Padilla.
Thanks for tuning into our radio show today. I'm enjoying the weekends, especially because I watch a lot of college basketball. You ever heard of March Madness? I'm really mad this month because it is so exciting. And I'm not talking just about the men's games, but the women's games are awesome too. My new favorite women's college basketball team is Iowa. They've got a player that is outstanding. She could play in the NBA. It is really awesome. And a lot of the people that are watching, of course, they're not watching at home. You know where they're watching? Bars and restaurants. They're having a good time with other people, drinking beer, eating good food. But what happens if those bathrooms in the restaurants break down, the plumbing goes down? All my good friends in the restaurant business, there goes business too, down the drain. That's why I recommend that they talk to Rapid Rooter Commercial Plumbing. These guys are experts in taking care of emergencies with plumbing fast, 24/7, 365. They'll always be there when you need them. Flush the rest, call the best. Rapid Rooter. You can visit their website, rapidrooternv.com, or call 775-322-4124. Tell them Peter sent you. In the studio, I'm with Jen Menken today. She's a real estate pro at RE/MAX Professionals, and also Brian Cushing from American Financial Network. Brian, it is so good that you're here today, because as we're talking about the things going on with the realtors and NAR, does it remind you just a little bit of Dodd-Frank?
Oh, it's such a flashback. I told somebody that I cringed about having to teach another class about the TRID update, the Truth in Lending Disclosure.
Yeah.
That they basically took two different disclosures and combined them into one. And as an industry, we had to coach our real estate professionals on how this might affect. Like, your closing date is going to be delayed potentially by 3 days, because until the lender issues their closing disclosure, you're not going to be able to sign the final documents.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not a groundbreaking thing, just a couple days wait. But if you're trying to do everything fast, it slowed it down.
Yeah.
And somebody gave me a little bit of an analogy this morning having to do with the NAR thing. It's ultimately, you're still going to have buyers and sellers that need to coincide and close a transaction. So just like you can take multiple routes to get to the same location, We're used to taking the one route where everything's pretty straightforward. There's not a lot of discussion made about the commission side of, like, the buyer's agency. But now there's going to be a discussion earlier in the process, and it's just a little bit of a detour from what's ultimately going to get you to the same end game.
For the people who don't remember Dodd-Frank or what it even means, back in the early 2000s during the mortgage meltdown, a couple of senators got together. One of them was named Dodd. The other one was named Frank. They decided they would put some bills together so that they could help the borrowers that were suffering in America and were struggling through the mortgage meltdown. They targeted mortgage lenders. I was a lender at the time. Brian, you were too. Mm-hmm. And when they targeted mortgage lenders, this is what they did. They said, you can no longer charge whatever amounts of points you want to charge, you know, discount points, interest rates. You can no longer do that beyond a certain level. If where I worked, I was told we could not charge more than 1% origination fee. The origination fee is basically what you were paid to originate, to work on the loan. Some loans are easy. You can get them done in half an hour. Some loans take you days because they might have investment properties, multiple insurances, multiple buyers, multiple sellers, investment property, second homes, very, very complicated, so it takes more time. When it takes more time in those days, we would maybe charge 2 points of origination because there is so much more work. Another borrower might come in. We might have given him one for 1.5 because of the type of home he was buying, the complexity of the loan, and we went on our merry way. Now, the borrowers, they could always decide whether they wanted to move forward or not to move forward. We never told them they must. They could go to any lender. Some of them did 2 or 3 lenders at a time. Still, the lenders were able to come up with the right formula. But once Dodd-Frank came in, it changed. It's only 1%. So it doesn't matter if it takes you 10 days or 10 hours or 10 minutes, you make 1% on a particular loan. I found that that was very unfair, Brian. In fact, a lot of lenders got out of the business. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I sure do.
And I'm concerned now that somewhat of the same thing is happening to the realtors in the world. We might see the same thing, realtors leaving the business. What do you think?
Well, it's very likely that we're going to see real estate agents and lenders at the same time have left the industry in the last year just because of the lack of sales,
lack of
volume.
Right.
Maybe not even lack of volume, just the number of sales. The volume is actually very high because the prices are so expensive. But the shift that took place, not everybody was willing to put in the time and learn how to make this new world work. And now that's been over 10 years since, you know, the CFPB, so really Dodd-Frank created the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and they're the ones that made all the new rules that we all live by today, mm-hmm. created the loan estimate, which is a replacement for the good faith estimate of the mm-hmm. past. And there was 2 forms, the truth in lending and good faith estimate merge into 1 form. That was pretty basic, but the steps to get there, there was lots of freaking out going on, and lots of people got out of the business because they just couldn't handle the change because it's been this way for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I look at this change in the real estate side of it. It's not really enacted by any kind of act of Congress. This is a lawsuit that took place that the industry is self-regulating itself over, you know, the settlement that was proposed. Effectively, just said, hey, okay, it was done this way in the past. We're proposing we're going to do it this way in the future, and it's not even finalized yet. But once it's finalized, we'll just have a new way of operating and doing business. I've heard questions from people asking if the lenders are somehow going to finance the buyer's real estate commissions. And I thought that was pretty funny because that's exactly what you're doing right now. When you buy a house for $500,000 and the price is $500,000 and the commission was already built into it, you financed it.
Yeah, of course.
You based mm-hmm. it on that price.
Yeah.
And I think it's not going to be much different in the future.
Yeah, I think that basically what's going to happen in the real estate world is the same that happened to the mortgage lending world. The people that do the work are going to make less money. They're going to have to do more deals to keep up with the same amount of money. And that's what I was told when my boss made that announcement at my mortgage company. He says, don't worry about reducing your commissions because so many people are going to get out of the business and you're going to stay in the business. Your share is going to go up and you're going to make a whole lot more money. Well, it didn't quite work out that way, at least not for me and not for most people. But this is a little different, Brian, because you're correct. It is not a government-induced change. In this case, it comes from the courts, comes from a lawsuit. I'm hoping that it doesn't get to the government.
Well, we've seen the government do very little because it's hard to agree. So this might be the only real way to get the shift to take place. And it's here. I mean, there's, you know, now that the settlement proposal's out there, it seemed relatively fair to me. I've heard numbers that could have cost the National Association of Realtors like four or five times
right. The
amount of the settlement proposed, their liability because of all the multiple lawsuits that the copycat lawsuits that started as soon as that one finished.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm curious, Brian, this was such a big bit of news that came through. It's been cooking for a while, but it finally hit this last week. Did your company, American Financial Network, did they have a meeting or have they sent out some kind of an announcement to all of the lenders just to kind of keep them updated as to what's happening with this?
We got a memo Monday morning addressing what we don't know. So basically, we don't know how it's going to impact lending because there has been no changes to the guidelines to address it.
Yeah.
There's always been limitations on third-party contributions, and third-party contribution could be negotiating the seller to pay part of your closing cost. Well, one of your closing costs now is going to be right up in the forefront is the real estate commission that's going to transact as a result of your offer to make a purchase on the house.
Mm-hmm.
There's also closing costs to pay the county for a transfer fee. There's property taxes. There's home insurance closing costs. So the limitations are pretty wide. I mean, an FHA loan can have 6% of the price of the home to pay for closing cost.
Right.
So there's no reason why it can't be negotiated mm-hmm. as part of the agreement that the mm-hmm. closing cost, we're just going to name it mm-hmm. as a specific dollar amount or a specific percentage for the buyer's aid commission. It's going to be another buyer's closing cost that was already there. It was just shuffled under the rug a little bit and coming from the seller's side of the transaction without a lot of explanation, and now it's going to have to be explained.
Yep, I've got all the details will have to be explained. Jen Menken, question for you is when a buyer is going to initiate a deal mm-hmm. now under these new rules, and again, I know we don't know a lot of them, but we know that there's negotiating. Do you foresee that the transaction itself, start to finish, is going to take any longer or less time? What do you think these changes are going to cause from that closing window?
I don't think that the changes should impact the length of an escrow. I mean, I think like Brian said, the building blocks are all going to remain the same. I think some things will be renamed and put in a different spot. So it's not as if we're introducing an entirely new element. I mean, their commission being paid to a buyer's agent already exists.
Yeah.
It's really the mechanism by which that's done and the process by which it's done, which mm-hmm. will now have some degree of negotiation wherein before it was just defined. In fact, you really couldn't you were precluded from negotiating it because it was part of a defined offer to sell.
Yeah, so maybe there might take a little time before it gets into escrow as
yes.
you're discussing, as
yes.
you're talking about these things. But let's face it, you can cut a deal in 10 minutes. If
yes.
you just come to an agreement,
yes.
you say, okay, I'll pay this, you pay that, good, let's go, and then you're on your way. So hopefully these changes will not slow down the time it takes to close deals because in the mortgage world especially, well, real estate too, you miss the closing by one date. It can be huge. It can be huge. You might lose the deal if you can't close on a particular date. So we've all been striving for speed. And I remember when I was in the mortgage world, that was always what we were talking about. We're going to be able to close loans in 29 days, 28 days. And we kept working that number down, right? And that was our big goal. The money was just on the side. It was the speed that we talked about. So if the speed can still be there, we can still get things done. We're going to look at the stats and the numbers from the different markets that Northern Nevada, Sierra Nevada Realtors cover after this message.
CSA puts all resources into classrooms. Head Start teachers get more time for planning, parental involvement, and one-on-one time with students.
I'm Sheila. I'm born and raised here in Reno, Nevada, and I currently work at Early Head Start. I work with the 1 to 2 year olds. It's very exciting to see the growth, not only with the children, but as well with the families. If you enjoy making a difference in kids' lives, please come join us here at Early Head Start or Head Start at csareno.org.
If you want the best tax and legal secrets used by successful real estate investors today, contact Sherry Hill, the Wealth Protection Diva at Sage International Incorporated, a local company that's been helping new as well as seasoned real estate investors for over 20 years protect their hard-earned wealth today. To schedule a free 30-minute consultation with Sherry, call 775-786-5515. That's 775-786-5515 to strategize with the Wealth Protection Diva today. Call Sage International.
With the new world of technology, a lot of young folks are really wondering about where they're going for their education and whether college is really the best place for them. If you're interested in technology, I recommend you talk to your young potential students about Nevada Technology Academy, a comprehensive program that combines hands-on training and labs designed to teach students all the essential knowledge about computers, and in this case, ethical hacking. Believe it or not, they have a class, and you could become a certified ethical hacker. What does an ethical hacker do? It helps prevent bad things from happening on the internet. These courses are all certified by the top accreditations and standards, like ANSI, NISI, the U.S. Department of Defense, and the National Cyber Security Center. Visit the website, nvtechacademy.com. In the studio today, I'm talking real estate and real estate for investors, homeowners, it doesn't matter, second home buyers, condo buyers. Things are always changing in the real estate world. It might be the prices, it might be the way that things are done, but at some point things settle down and we get used to them. I'm not sure that I've gotten used to these new high prices. We want to talk about them today. I bought my first house in 1982. $60,000 was the price I paid. Pretty good deal. It was more on the high end at the time, but I was real glad with that house, and I thought maybe someday it's going to be worth more. If I would have bought that home in Reno, Nevada for $60,000 in 1981, Jen Menken, I'm going to let you tell us about how much would that home be worth today?
Well, probably about $567,500.
Half a mil more.
Uh-huh.
Wow. I should have bought here instead of where I bought. Yeah. Should have bought here, kept the house, and I'd be a half a millionaire today.
Well, but all things are relative. So
yes.
Technically, yes, but.
But. A lot of buts, right. I've lived in a lot of places since then. I've moved around a lot of places since then. Things have changed dramatically since then. I also paid 12% for my first mortgage, Brian, back in 1981, and I had a second mortgage at 16.5. So it's not all good when you look back that far.
It's all relative.
It's better today, right?
Oh, it's a lot better today.
So where are interest rates hanging around across the country, Brian?
They have been hanging around the 7% range for the last 6 months. It's been over 7%. It's been under 7%. It got as low as 6.5% and went right back up to 7%. All under the preface of, is there going to be, the Fed, know, in air quotes, lowering the rates, which they only really control a very short-term rate, but all the rest of the rates are based off that benchmark. So we hope that it can only go down from here, but, history could tell us it could go a lot higher.
Sure.
It could be 12%.
Could be. I think if they could have gone higher, they would have gone higher at this point. And so this is probably about the highest, I think, that they can push them for now. But I do remember back in those early 80s, Brian, as I was watching real estate beyond that and into the 90s, 2000s, and so forth, when I got into the mortgage world, it was right at about 6.5%, the more interest rate, not far from where it is today. One of the things that we were doing a lot of especially for first-time homebuyers, were ARM mortgages. Are you still doing a lot of adjustable rates deals?
No, the ARMs, as a tool, I mean, they're out there. It's come with such a bad – puts a bad taste in so many people's mouth because those were a lot of the loans that went sideways were on a shorter term, fixed for only 3 to 5 years.
Right.
And after that 3 to 5 years, the preface was you should be able to refinance. Oh, no big deal. Mm-hmm. Just restructure your loan. But when home values dropped and people were left holding a loan and then their interest rate doubled in some cases, or their payment went from interest only to principal and interest. And that in whatever increase, whatever destabilization caused a lot of the housing, burst. So we found is that fixed rate loans have really carried the same value from a secondary mortgage side. So basic background, when a mortgage company closes a loan, they're not sitting on it for 30 years, right? They're not like waiting for that $500,000 to come back to them. They're selling it in the secondary market.
They sell that loan, yeah.
So the fixed rate loans are actually carrying a higher value in the secondary market than the adjustable rates. So you're not getting the advantage of a lower offering or a carrot to take a riskier loan because the investors don't want to buy them. So there's not really a spread there because that was the big advantage. If rates, when I my very first loan for myself in 2005, the option was a 5-year ARM at 5.25 or a fixed rate loan was closer to 6.25. And we're just not seeing a spread like that. We're actually seeing the opposite. You actually, to get a little bit lower interest rate on an ARM, you're actually paying more in fees or points.
Yeah, yeah. I know that the details of the loans have changed since I was in the mortgage world, but I do remember where you could get a 2-point reduction your first year. The second year, it was a 1-point reduction. And then from the third point year on, you were at your fixed mortgage. It just stayed.
So we actually still have those.
You didn't have to refinance. You didn't have to do anything. You just have to know going in that your rate's going to adjust up the first couple of years so that it can help you get qualified. But I don't even know, Brian, now whether you can qualify at the lower interest rate.
No, that's the difference.
That's the big difference. Now, in those days,
you can actually get that 3-2-1 or 2-1 temporary buy down.
Yeah.
So effectively, what you have is a fixed rate loan, but the first year you're offered the principal and interest payment at a lower rate,
right.
And then it's got a specific scale where it knows that on a 2-1 buy down, year one, 2% lower rate. Year two, it's a 1% lower rate. Year three, you're at your actual rate.
Yes.
Which that's what you have to qualify for is that actual rate. That way, you're not putting all your eggs in the refi basket. Because if you're saying, hey, I only qualify because the rate's 2% lower for that first year, well, what about the rest of the loan?
Yeah, in 3 years I won't qualify anymore.
Well, and that's how people got into a lot of trouble.
That's how they got into trouble, sure. It's interesting what we have to look at when we're trying to do a good deal for somebody, but a lot of people do deals just to get the commission, just to get the money, and then they take off and they can leave the borrower, in a lurch if they don't have all the information. It doesn't happen like that anymore, Brian, not to the degree that it did prior to the mortgage meltdown, because those exotic loans, they just really don't exist anymore. The option ARM, you never see that anymore.
No.
And the no doc, the liar's loan.
Well, the state of Nevada was one of the first states in the country to outlaw stated income loans in 2007. And I remember going to a corporate meeting and it was Michigan, I think, and Nevada, and the president of the company points at me, and I'm in my early 20s, and he's like, "What are you going to do when stated income loans go away?" And I'm like, "What?" I had no idea. And apparently it was not even in law yet, but it was proposed. It had just been proposed in the legislature that year, and caught me by surprise, but it passed, and we adjusted, and we verify everybody's income ever since.
And that's the way it should be. That keeps us all out of trouble, right? Regardless of whether we're the buyers or the sellers.
Well, you shouldn't be able to lie to get a loan.
Should not. And that should not be one of the things that it is called for. We are going to look at more of the stats. We've just looked at Reno. Jim Minkin is going to help us with the rest of the stats when we come back after this quick message.
If you want the best tax and legal secrets used by successful real estate investors today, contact Sherry Hill, the Wealth Protection Diva at Sage International Incorporated, a local company that's been helping new as well as seasoned real estate investors for over 20 years protect their hard-earned wealth today. To schedule a free 30-minute consultation with Sherry, call 775-786-5515. That's 775-786-5515 to strategize with the Wealth Protection Diva today. Call Sage International.
If you love teaching and want to make a difference in the lives of our young children, become a teacher at Community Services Agency Head Start or Early Head Start programs.
Please call us at 775-786-6023.
A lot of our listeners, they are real estate investors, and we always recommend that they incorporate their real estate holdings properly. You'd be amazed how many problems happen when slip and fall happens, maybe a litigious tenant moves into your rental home. You need to be protected, and the best way to get started is to incorporate your real estate holdings. I suggest you call Sherry Hill, from Sage International. 800-254-5779 or visit the website sageintl.com. Ask Sherry to talk to you about an S-Corp, a C-Corp, or a Series LLC for your real estate holdings. With me in the studio today, I have Jen Memkin from REMAX Professionals and Brian Cushing from American Financial Network. Brian, are you doing mortgage work for primary residence only, or do you also do commercial, second homes, investment properties? What do you do?
A lot of investment properties and second homes, and for sure primary residences.
The second home market in Reno, Nevada, I think is really taken off. It seems like more and more people are discovering us and thinking that'd be a great place to go for a vacation once or twice a year.
There's a lot of people that buy a second home from a tax perspective and then later make it their primary.
Another good way to skin that cat.
That's right.
Jen Memkin is with us. Jen, let's go over those stats on the real estate median home prices in our northern Nevada area. We covered Reno in the last segment. $567,000 is our median home price.
Yes, $567,500.
Yeah, and I've always heard that if you look just to the neighbor, Sparks, the values are just a little bit lower and maybe more affordable. What are they looking like there?
I would agree, and the median there is $530,000.
$530,000, so we're talking about $35,000.
Mm-hmm.
Big amount of that. You know what? That could pay a realtor's commission. Or?
It is very nice of you to see it that way.
Yeah. Let's look at one of our other neighbors, Carson City. What's that like?
So Carson is sitting right at $547,475.
So that's kind of in the middle.
Yeah, kind of in the middle.
You know, I love Carson City. I've never lived there, but I love traveling there. It is such a great little community, and it's so close to the mountains. I really feel like I'm right on them, you know. A lot of people in northern Nevada now, when they talk about the median home prices, Jen, they combine Reno, Sparks, and Carson City because that is essentially the real estate metro. And so if we look at that number, we combine all three, Reno, Sparks, Carson, what's our median value there?
We are right at $549,950, so we can just call that $550.
About $550. So still of the three, Sparks looks like it has the lowest median home price, at least today. One sale could change all that.
Absolutely.
But that also shows that people who bought a home in Reno, northern Nevada, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or more, boy, were they smart?
I would say yes.
Yeah. They bought in a great spot.
They really did.
I remember when the best time to buy a home, at least since I moved here, was in January of 2012. Mm. That's when the bottom really did hit. Brian, do you remember what the median price of a home was then?
I want to say it had a two in front of it.
No.
It was lowered with a
$150,000. And I was a mortgage lender, and I had a borrower. He said to me, "Oh, Peter, I'd love to buy a house, but I got no money. I just don't have any money." And I talked to another borrower, and they didn't have any money either, and they didn't have any money either. When the prices started moving up, they had money. They all had money. They all started buying houses. But not when it was at the bottom because they wanted to wait. But what a difference. I mean, it's gone up essentially almost three or even more times since then. A lot of folks are looking at the other parts of northern Nevada. Why don't you share the next county with us?
Well, we have Fernley.
Love Fernley.
Fernley, $384,990 is the median.
$384,990. Now, that is a really fantastic number. When you compare it to the next closest city, let's compare it to Sparks.
So where were we? Sparks, $530,000.
So $530,000 versus $399,000.
Yeah. I mean, 20-minute drive will save you.
20-minute drive, that's over $100,000 for a 20-minute drive.
Yep.
And there's something about Fernley I really love. It's a small community. It's like the small farm community that I grew up in Colorado. And when you grow up in a small farm community, you're a different kind of person than a city person. If anybody wants their kids to grow up in a farm community and grow up to be a rural resident, Fernley is a great place to go because in half an hour, you can be at the GSR at a big rock concert, have some great dinner, listen to some bands, and next thing you know, you're back in the country. Fernley, Nevada. Very nice. They still have not invited me to join the Chamber of Commerce. After all this that I do for them, Brian, what's the next county we're looking at?
Fallon, 327.
Fallon, 327. Love Fallon. It's just a little bit to the east of Fernley. And as a beekeeper, I got to tell you, the best beekeepers or the most active and productive beekeepers come from Fallon. It's all that hay.
Yep.
All those cantaloupes.
The green wave.
Oh, it's a big, big green wave. Love,
yes.
Love Fallon. What else do we got to look at there today?
Well, Story County.
Story County, very interesting. That's where Tesla is located. And it's also where Virginia City is.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of contrast, right? They're, you wouldn't really put those two together.
Yep.
But yet, they are connected. So,
they are.
Can't imagine a lot of deals are happening in Story.
So interestingly, their median price is $485.
$485.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So it jumps up a little bit.
Well, yeah. I would imagine that a lot of the Virginia City properties are somewhat historic.
Yeah.
Kind of preserved. Need to be preserved or...
And Story County goes right through the Highlands, part of
yeah,
its Washoe.
Virginia
part,
Highlands,
yeah,
right.
And that can kind of skew things.
Yeah,
those are larger properties.
I have a friend who has property there, and it is a big, big property.
Yep.
And he talks to me about how interesting it is to live in Virginia City Highlands, but yet you're in Story County.
Mm-hmm.
So even though he does all of his business in Reno,
yep,
he pays taxes to Story.
Yeah. And then we have Humboldt County.
So Humboldt County is a new addition to the reporting from the Sierra Nevada Realtors. Humboldt, we're talking about Humboldt County.
And let me put it in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
That $339.9 median price,
yeah,
nine sales.
Nine sales.
So not a huge volume.
Not a lot of action. However, the people that did buy there probably have a pretty good deal because at that price, you pay for a lot of gas to drive around.
Yes.
Very nice. Well, overall, the numbers in Northern Nevada, Jen and Brian, I think they've kind of settled down a little bit. They haven't really moved up or down quite a bit in the last several months. Have you seen much dramatic changes, Jen?
I have not, no.
And Brian, same with you. I mean, are you seeing some stability in the pricing, or are people talking about the dramatic changes still?
Well, it definitely hasn't changed much. I think a lot of the stats will give you like the year-over-year comparisons, and it's what I would say is healthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
A 5-6% increase year-over-year would actually be sustainable versus 10-20% we had at one point in time.
Uh-huh. When you look at the changes from year to year, the stats that we have that we've just discussed, like for Reno, price of $567,500, that's up 8.5% in 1 year. That's pretty good. That's a little bit more than the average that we're talking about, Brian. If we look at Sparks, their number at $530,000, we're up 5.6%. Maybe that's the reason that it looks like a pretty good deal today, is because it's moving up at about this right percentage, right, that you would think is a natural, stable, healthy market. You get to Carson City, the price at $547,475 today, median home price, that's up over 10% in 1 year. That I would call a dramatic increase, right? 10% in 1 year, that's pretty big. That's about 2 or 3 years worth of regular increase. You look at Greater Carson City, Sparks and Reno averaged together, your increase is 6.8% year over year. Douglas County is a lot of fun. That one, let's talk about Douglas County. Who resides in Douglas County? I believe it is Minden,
Gardnerville,
Genoa.
South Lake Tahoe,
beautiful areas. No wonder it's priced a little bit higher than the rest of the areas. At $744,900, you wonder, how does that compare from last year? Last year, it has gone up 38.6% in 1 year. Now, that is an area that has really taken off. And people that bought in Douglas County just a year ago, when they look at their median home price value, it's huge. We were talking about Fernley, what a great place that is to
mm-hmm.
be. At a median price of only $384,990, that's up 10% in 1 year. I'm not surprised because it is such a great place, and we do talk a lot about it, and there's so much new business moving into Fernley, right on I-80, close to Reno. It has been discovered, increased in 10% in 1 year. When we look at Lyon County, and again, $432,499 is the median home price, it's only up 3% in 1 year, so it's moving at a slower pace. So if you're looking for an area that maybe you still can work on, you don't have to catch up so far if you're looking to invest in an area, Lyon County might be the place. Looking at Fallon, at that $327,000 price, I know there were only 16 sales closed, Jen, but that price is actually down year over year, 1.7%. So Fallon is another area that has some real stability and maybe a little bit more opportunity. guess what's happening in Lake Tahoe? Average median home price of $1.298 million. It's up 23% in 1 year. Median home price in Story County, $485. That's up 6.6%. And even though we just touched on Humboldt County, it shows you that the whole state is moving in the top direction. It is up 12.4% in just 1 year. Those nine closed sales is what did it, Jen. It's kind of funny how one sale can make a big
Absolutely.
Difference in the reporting. Brian Cushing, with these interest rates at close to 7%, some people would think there's no activity at all in the real estate market, but I know that's not true. When people come in to talk to you about getting a mortgage to purchase a home, do they already start talking about that refi opportunity maybe down the road when rates go down? Is that still on people's minds?
Oh, it's always on people's minds, and it needs to be.
Yeah.
We're a couple years into this, you know, adjustment to higher interest rates. So at the beginning, a lot of people just thought, oh, I'll just wait till the rates come down. Oh, the prices have got to come down because the interest rates.
Right.
I mean, that's the, you know, the public, you know, perception, I guess, that the higher interest rates are going to somehow, you know, retract sales
right.
and bring the prices down. We've actually seen the opposite. We were talking about the increase in prices. A lot of it is there's lack of people willing to sell.
Right.
And if they're not willing to sell, then what are you going to buy?
Yeah.
Right? So there's just been less opportunity. And the few homes that are on the market, if they're good quality, I mean, we see people having to bid. Back to the bidding wars. Absolutely. And we're just getting into that season here in the spring.
Next time you come on the show, Brian, we're going to be talking a little bit about building and builders, because that may be another angle where we're going to have to see some big action in order to get enough homes on the market for all of the potential buyers that we can see some more stabilization in pricing and maybe someday even see prices go lower. Could you ever imagine that?
Yeah, they're going to have to make it easier to build, I think.
Brian, if anybody wants to reach you, learn more about the mortgage world at American Financial Network, what is the best way to reach you?
Yeah, give us a call or send us a text at 775-453-0345, or you can visit our website at homeloansreno.com.
Very good. We'll put all of your contact information on our website. Make it easy for people to find you.
Absolutely.
Jen Mencken has been with us, too, from RE/MAX Professionals. Jen, it's been nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
Always good to chat with you about things that are happening in the world of real estate. We're not done talking about this NAR deal.
No.
There's a whole lot more conversation to go with that.
This is going to be a long conversation.
Yep, this was just the start. However, we'll get an update here before too long, and love to have you come back.
Thank you. I would love that.
If anybody needs to reach you at RE/MAX Professionals, what's the best way?
Call or text me at 775-843-0566 or online at jenmencken.com. And I'm a 2N Jen.
J-E-N-N.
Yes.
First N was so good, you had to do a second one.
Absolutely.
I'm glad you were with us today, Jen, and keep us posted on new developments.
Will do.
I would like to thank our listeners for tuning in as well. We're on the air again next week. Same time, same station. Tell your friends and family to tune in, too, and then they can make a great deal when it comes time to buy or sell real estate. Until then, goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye,
everybody.
You have been listening to Nevada Real Estate Radio with Peter Padilla. We value your listenership. Want to talk with Peter? Send an email to peter@nevadarealestateradio.com.
Attention, restaurant and bar owners. Don't let your profits go down the drain. Call Rapid Rooter Emergency Commercial Plumbing, 24/7, 365.
People call us. It's usually a plumbing emergency. I hear things like, help, we're underwater, or the wedding party starts in an hour. The bathrooms don't work.
Call Rapid Rooter, 775-322-4124. Emergency Commercial Plumbing, 24/7, 365. RapidRooterNV.com.
There is risk in owning investment real estate in your personal name. Sage International Incorporated, a local business, has been helping new and seasoned real estate investors with their real estate investment strategy by forming LLCs, series LLCs, and corporations. Call 775-786-5515. Call Sage International.
Natakwa News. Fun for all ages. Natakwa News. Pick up your copy today. Natakwa.
Next time on the Sherry Hill Show, I'm going to talk with Danny Heinzen of My Hometown Heroes. They are a national scholarship fund for college-bound cancer survivors who want to enroll in universities, community colleges, and trade schools. We're going to learn how they help bridge the gap between cancer and college, one scholarship at a time. The Sherry Hill Show, Mondays, 11:30 a.m., and Sundays at 1 p.m. on 93.7 FM. The Sherry Hill Show, where business is amplified.